Tango Tango Papa 1747, June 12, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Palmyra, Pennsylvania. And so, let's see. Where did I pick the load up? I picked the load up in, Kenwood, Michigan, which is near Grand Rapids. And it's actually a suburb of Grand Rapids. And so I picked this load up, and it was... It's a load I've hauled before. Had to go to this so-called kosher truck wash to get the, you know, a kosher truck wash performed, which that's kind of meaningless. I don't know what it means. But anyway, you know, maybe they use a hot water or something and you clean it extra well. I don't know. But I think they use hot water anyway, so in most truck washes. So anyway, I spent the night last night at a service plaza on the Ohio Turnpike, and I don't know, I guess it was about 2 o'clock Eastern time when I got there, and I'll talk about that. I've got a couple of files I recorded that I recorded earlier while I was kind of waiting to get a tire worked on, so there's no need of me repeating that, because I did talk about it in those files. But so anyway, I made it here to Palmyra and dropped the loaded trailer, and they don't have any empty trailers available, and so I sent the empty message, and I put that note in there that that there were no empty trailers available, and so far they haven't responded with anything. So it would appear, unless they, you know, something happens, it would appear that it's, you know, I may just sit here for the night and deal with it tomorrow. So in the meantime, and I talk about this in the file, but I'll talk about it here anyway before I play the files, the allergy, you know, the poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac, whatever it is, and or kind of continues. The genital swelling is pretty much completely gone at this point, but the skin is very sore. Without getting graphic, giving you more details than you want to know, it's sore, but it's, the swelling's gone. The swelling was, that's the pits. That was the worst symptom. Now, the other problem that I'm having now is that I've got my arms and my hands are still breaking out. I've still got some new breakouts, and I do have some itching, you know, kind of some intense itching that goes on. And so I've got, you know, Benadryl and, you know, some cortisone 10 cream and so on and so forth that I can use to sort of mitigate that. So I do have kind of ways of sort of minimizing it so that it's not so bad. But it's especially annoying if the itching cranks up when I'm trying to sleep. That keeps me wide awake. So that's not good when it, kind of cranks up when I'm trying to sleep. But it's, you know, it's kind of annoying if it happens otherwise. But like I say, I have things I can take, you know, that I can use to sort of mitigate it. And so I was talking, you know, at that place where I had to stop earlier, and I'll talk about that, this truck stop. I was talking to this guy that worked there, and he said, you know, I told him what happened, that I'd gotten, poison ivy or whatever. And he indicated he was really allergic to it. And he said probably expect it to last about 2 weeks. So if that's the case, maybe I've got another week to go. I don't know, but it's like never-ending hives. This is, I've had, you know, kind of the food-triggered hives, and those last, like I've said before, you know, they last an hour or two and you're over it. In this case, it just goes on and on and on, and it doesn't end. It gets better, and then it, and then periodically it sort of gets worse, and it's worse than any food-triggered hives that I've ever had. Even if you take the genital swelling out of it, what I have right now, you know, the itching sensations and what have you, are worse than any food-triggered hives that I've ever had. So this just keeps going and going and going, but it's kind of interesting. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play this file. I'll play them back to back. There's probably about, 14 minutes worth of audio here, and I'll be right back. So right now I'm at Harrisville, Pennsylvania. It's along Interstate 80, kind of in western Pennsylvania, not too far from the Ohio state line along Interstate 80. So I've stopped here today because my truck has had a shimmy that has developed primarily like at 60 miles an hour. It's got a shimmy in the front end, and I got to looking and I found that the right front tire sort of has an unusual wear pattern on it, so that's probably likely what's causing the shimmy, and there has to be some underlying reason probably that it has the wear pattern. But anyway, I'm at this TA truck stop here at Harrisville, Pennsylvania, kind of waiting for them to call me and tell me to come into the shop. I've already checked in with them, and so it's just kind of waiting for them to call. But so anyway, it's a fairly nice day. I'd say that it is cloudy today here. The temperature, I believe, is probably in the 80s. What did I do with my phone? And I can... What did I do? Oh, I have it in my pocket. No, it's right there in front of me. Kind of all flummoxed here. Let's see. So let me look at it. It says it's 76 degrees. I guess this is actually Barkeyville is what comes up on the phone. So 78 degrees, and I guess what's the high supposed to be today? 80? Supposed to get up to 80. So it's very, you know, kind of very cloudy. I haven't seen the sun all day. I spent the night, or you know, my break really over in Ohio along one of the Pennsylvania or Ohio Turnpike, one of the Ohio Turnpike plazas. That's where I spent my break at. And I don't know, I stopped there, it was about 2 o'clock Eastern time this morning when I stopped, and so I went to bed, and I think I slept about an hour and a half, and then I ended up waking up kind of with more itching at the hives from the allergic reaction to the poison oak, poison ivy, maybe even poison sumac. Kind of continues, although I will say that the swelling in my genital area has pretty much gone away. That seems to have gone away, but of course the skin really got stretched and so on and so forth, and so it's still pretty tender, but you know, it's pretty much, as long, you know, if everything's okay, you know, nothing's rubbing up against that area, then it's not itching, and it's, you know, it's just kind of easy to ignore. But when I woke up, after I slept an hour and a half this morning, when I woke up, my arms were itching, my hands were itching, the back of my neck was itching, the front of it was itching, and I ended up kind of being wide awake, and of course I've taken a Benadryl, and I've got some different lotion, or not really lotions, but ointments, and one of them is a prescription ointment to relieve itching. Put that on, and you know, besides the Benadryl, and that's kind of all I can really do. And so I'm continuing with that. Again, that's kind of all I can really do at this point. And it's just an ongoing, it's like hives that won't end. never-ending hives. And periodically, I guess I don't know if the medicine wore off or just for whatever reason, it just kind of got worse in the middle of the night. But it I did go through this period where it was kind of itching and to the point where I couldn't go to sleep. And so then, I turned on a Netflix and I watched a couple of things on Netflix for a while. And then finally, I think I had about four hours left on the break, maybe 5 hours. I finally, the itching subsided enough and I went to sleep. And I think I woke up a couple of times after I went to sleep, but I did sleep until the alarm went off. And so then, I feel fine. I'm not tired or anything. Not drowsy in the least, so I'm feeling fine that way. So I did end up, I guess, getting enough sleep, but this ongoing itching is a continuing problem, and I suspect that it will be for a while. From what I read, they said that you could have a reaction if you've never been exposed to like poison oak or ivy or whatever. You have a 10-day incubation period before you react to it. Well, I had poison ivy before. I know that, when I was a kid. So it was probably 2 days from the initial reaction. So I think, the initial exposure was probably a week ago Sunday. So that would be today. Today is about 10 days after that. But I did have a couple of days after that initial exposure is when I first noticed I had some itching on the back of one of my hands. So I think that I probably got into multiple things. And maybe some of them did react after 2 days, and then some of them are just now reacting, or I'm now having the immune system reaction, and that's why even though I'm on the medication, that may be why I'm still sort of seeming to get worse in some ways, even though the main really bad symptom of the swollen genital area, that has subsided. And so this itching is on my arms and my neck and so on. Uh-oh. Okay, so that was them calling, telling me to go ahead and come into the shop. And so he's jacking it up right now, and he thinks they're probably going to have him take pictures of it. I think they're going to have to replace the tire. It seemed to me because of the wear pattern. But anyway, that's sort of underway. But getting back to the hives, this is just kind of ongoing. And unlike a food allergy type hive that I've had, those hives that I've had in the past are pretty minor. Where you have, I'd have like an hour or two of kind of discomfort and then get over it. This just keeps going on and on and on and on, and it periodically gets worse, and then it periodically gets, I get a little relief from it and so on and so forth. But as I say, the main really negative symptom of the swollen genitals is that seems to have, kind of gone away at this point. And as I say, now it's just a matter of sort of waiting for the skin to return to normal, because with all that extra swelling of that skin, it created, you have natural wrinkles in the skin, and with all that extra swelling, it really, I think it put pressure on some, on certain points, where there's a sort of a crease, I'd swear that there's probably a little bit of a scab there, you know, where it probably somehow either chafed the skin or, you know, did something to it, stressed it somehow. So that's a little tender without getting too graphic. But now that the swelling is gone, and that's the swelling down there is not an issue anymore. I think at this point, it's just a matter of dealing with the regular hive symptoms. And as I say, those kind of keep periodically sort of flaring up, and, you know, the itching and the, you know, the kind of the burning sensation and so on and so forth. And it makes it, if when that happens and when you're trying to sleep, that makes it almost impossible to sleep. So, at that point, the only thing that I can do is, if I can't sleep, is just turn on Netflix or start doing something to, rather than just lay there and think about itching. So, but you can bet that from now on I'll be paying very close attention to any, you know, before I touch anything that has leaves on it, I'm going to be really reluctant to touch anything, that, especially vines, because you just never know. There are other things that you can be allergic to besides poison ivy. And that poison oak and poison sumac, there are other things that, you know, I potentially could be allergic to that I might not know about. And, you know, especially in that fence row and in the, you know, when I initially, you know, when I was digging around in the weeds on, you know, 10 days ago Sunday, there's just all, you know, it's not just one thing that's there. There's a whole variety of different wild weeds and so on and so forth that I came into contact with. And it may be that I'm allergic to some of that, and there's really no way of knowing. So, it's going to be very, from now on, I'm going to be very leery about coming into contact with anything like that, because this has been a real eye opener, you know, because I knew the thought did go through my mind, especially when I was cleaning out that, you know, that fence, that, well, you should be paying attention, there might be some poison ivy in here. And I just didn't, I just kind of dismissed the thought, you know, as, well, it's just a casual thought, and, you know, I had my gloves on, but I was touching the stuff too part of the time. So all I can it's really my own fault that I did it, but from now on I really will be paying attention and not touching that stuff. That stuff's been there for, you know, probably as long as, you know, I've lived there. There's been poison ivy and poison oak and probably poison sumac on the property. But I just haven't, you know, I kind of haven't gotten into it for whatever reason. And there's actually some, you know, not only in that fence, but there's where I parked my pickup right beside it. But then there's some elsewhere. I got to looking and I saw some, out in the other yard, the other side of the house in the yard, growing right next to a tree, you know, with three leaves. It's very sort of, they're sort of very distinctive looking. You have a stem, you know, each stem's got three leaves coming off of it, and that's pretty distinctive, so. But it's there, and I just didn't ever come into contact with it for whatever reason. But boy, I am going to be paying attention now. But I had no idea that it could create such a giant systemic reaction. I thought, well, it's just a little rash or something, you know. And believe me, it can, depending, you know, it can be way more than just a little rash. So, but you live and learn, and it's just one of those experiences that, you know, it's an experience, and it's best just to sort of make the best of it by not resenting it. not resenting that it happened. It, you know, whatever happened, happened. There's no point in crying over spilled milk. And I'll be paying, you know, I'll be more aware of that type of stuff in the future, certainly.
So those were the two files that I recorded. By the way, I did watch the Apple's, you know, their 2013 Worldwide Developer Conference announcements, and it was pretty interesting. I watched the whole thing. It was, I think, about an hour and a half long. You know, and the big thing I think they announced was the developer release of iOS 7. And then they talked about several different things besides iOS 7. They showed pictures of the new Mac Pro, which is it's kind of the desktop machine. But the big thing there is that, you know, it looked, the picture that they showed, you know, instead of a normal tower, they, you know, they've changed the form factor and they've made it into this, it's sort of like a Chrome wastebasket or a Chrome milk jug type of shape, you know, and it's really snazzy looking, and I'm surprised some company hasn't done that before. You know, make a, you know, a round cylinder like that, small round cylinder, and it's chrome, and you turn it, and they showed them spinning it around, and so you could see the back of it where you have the different connectors, and the thing just automatically lights up, you know, and then people go gaga over that. So, you know, so that's something that Apple would do, and some people will pay big bucks for that, because they would pay big bucks for the Mac Pro, just to start with, the desktop. But it's been a long time since Apple has sort of updated those models, and so in the meantime, there's a lot of Windows. There's been a major hardware improvements, and you know, now a Mac, of course, is basically, it's a PC architecture. You know, so it's, that's why they were able, you know, when they went to the Intel chips, it's basically, it's a PC architecture that's kind of specialized. And so that's why it's able to natively run Windows. So, you know, so there's been some major hardware updates, you know, and Apple's just going to let the Mac Pro sort of languish. And a lot of people were thinking that they were getting ready to maybe drop it or something. And Apple kept stringing them along and saying, just hold on, hold on. Well, we're going to get to it. And they finally will be, but they haven't actually released any product for sale yet. It's just, this is coming this fall or whenever they said it was. So anyway, it's, you know, it's kind of cool looking, but it'll be very expensive because a regular Mac Pro is pretty expensive. So but the iOS 7, you know, looks interesting. It, in many ways, it kind of reminds me of Android, the way the, you know, the icons look, and they've kind of redesigned everything so that it's more of a flat Android, you know, type look, except it's the, you know, it's kind of got Apple's color schemes in it, so that it's sort of like an Apple-esque version of Android, and they borrowed a couple of ideas that you know, directly from Android. And then there was maybe a couple of things in there that they mentioned that were their own ideas, you know, that I haven't seen implemented anywhere else. So it should be interesting. They're saying it's going to come out in the fall, and it'll work on an iPad 2 or above, or what was it, the iPod Touch 5 or above. Now, the iPod Touch that I have, I don't know which generation it is, really. So, you know, don't know. But so in any case, whenever the iPad version of the software, or whenever iOS 7 is released, then I should be getting that, and I should, you know, on my iPad 2, and be able to play with it. So, I don't know. It's probably enough for, you know, people that are already enamored with Apple products. It's probably this, you know, kind of showing people what this iOS 7 is probably enough to kind of keep a lot of those people on the string, because some of them were sort of poised to jump ship. And, you know, so that this will probably stem that tide somewhat, although I do think Apple has lost some of their momentum. Because I, you know, months ago, whenever I was going to buy a new phone, I waited until they came out with the iPhone 5 the day of the announcement, and, you know, and it was pretty much what everybody said it was. It was just going to be a 4-inch screen, and I already had a 4.2-inch screen that I was, you know, on the old phone that I'd already had for 2.5 years. So no point in going backwards, and so that's why I waited until that day, and then went ahead and got the Galaxy S3 and with a 4.8-inch screen, and I've been very pleased with it. So, you know, they've already lost some momentum, because they could have had me as a customer if they'd had a bigger screen. So, but they didn't. They didn't. Oh, well. And I think there are probably other people that kind of fall into the same category. But, so, you know, it should be interesting to see, that, you know, this iOS 7. But other than that, it just looks a little different, and they've changed a few little things around where you can swipe up and get at things and so on and so forth. But it's really the same functionality that, from what I could see, you know, they've added a couple of little things here or there that they demoed, but it's really the same thing. So it sort of works the same way. It's just different looking somewhat. It's more Android looking. So that's kind of what I think, the impression that I got from it. And I don't think, you know, apart from the Mac Pro, they did talk about the next version of OS X is going to be called Mavericks instead of Mountain, like, what is it, Mountain Lion or Snow Lion or whatever the top version is now. They kind of ran out of cat names, and so, you know, he joked about Sea Lion or whatever. The guy tried to make a joke, and they kind of laughed, but I didn't think it was very funny. But anyway, sort of fell flat, I thought. But Mavericks, that's kind of a silly name. I don't know. That was a TV show name from the late 60s. There's been several products that have been called Maverick. There's a trucking company that's Mavericks, or that's Maverick. There's a Maverick trucking company. There's probably all kinds of businesses that have Maverick in their name. What else? I guess there was maybe a brand of cigarettes that were Maverick. I think they're still around, maybe. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of a strange choice for a name for the operating system, but oh well. But looks cool, you know, as far as you know, improvements and what have you. Now, on this machine that I'm recording the podcast on right now, it's on Snow Leopard, and that's where it's going to stay. And that other machine that I have, the 17-inch MacBook Pro that I have, that's going to stay on Snow Leopard. Those two are going to stay the same. Now, the only two that I will upgrade will be the two Mac Minis that I have at home. I'll go ahead and buy the upgrade and upgrade both of those. Don't have a problem with those. But these two laptops have to stay on Snow Leopard just for the sake of Ubercaster. So anyway, I don't know, that was interesting. It's always interesting to watch the, Apple presentations. And that Phil Schiller, when he was introducing that Mac Pro, when he was showing the pictures of the Chrome trash can, he said, "And so Apple we can't innovate my ass," or whatever he said, that kind of, and he was, you know, so you can tell that a lot, or Apple can no longer innovate my ass, is what he said, something like that. So you could tell that's probably gotten under their skin a little bit. People saying, well, they've kind of lost their momentum, they've lost their ability to innovate, and so on and so forth. So that's probably kind of dug into the, you know, because it's partially true. Otherwise, they wouldn't be, why are they upset about it? You know, because if someone says something about you, whether you're an individual or a company, if it's true, you're much more likely to, you know, it's kind of hitting home versus if someone just says something about you and it's not true, you know it's not true. And, you know, and if you let it upset you, then it becomes your problem. But if it clearly it did upset them, and I think there is some truth that, you know, that they have lost some of the momentum that they once had with obviously with Steve Jobs sort of driving everything. So, and they've certainly lost their a lot of the ability that they had to be secretive. A lot of that's gone now too. So they kind of leak like a sieve anymore, it seems like. So, it'll be interesting. There's a couple of things that are coming out in the fall that they're releasing, and the new version of OS X and the new version of the iOS, and that's pretty much all they announced. And they periodically have little announcements here and there. And so that's what they had for right now. And as I say, it's always kind of interesting, you know, to watch those presentations and kind of see see what they do. But they have their formula, and they've kind of, you know, it wasn't as exciting as if you had a Steve Jobs presentation. None of them can do it as well as he could. They're following the formula, that he laid out as far as how to set the presentations up, and this is how we do it, and so on and so forth. They pretty much followed that formula, but they're just not, they're not Steve Jobs, you know, so. So anyway, I found this article, Belgian Parliament poised to approve child euthanasias. Now, you know, of course, child euthanasia, you know, kill children. Because euthanasia is obviously, or, you know, that's kind of a term for a so-called mercy killing. You know, kill a person to put them out of their misery. You know, someone has to decide that their life is not worth living, and so we'll just kill them. But the problem with that is that's a really slippery slope. And, you know, if you get to the point where you say, well, this kid, you know, it's already born, and it just, it has, you know, maybe it's handicapped in some way, and it's just not worth, it's not going to have a good quality of life. Let's just put it out of its misery. Let's not give it a chance to live. Let's just kill it, because it's just going to be a burden on everybody else anyway. See, and that's the mentality. So you could just extend that. Why not, if you have parents that are getting a divorce, why not just take the toddlers and kill them? Because they're not going to have a full mom and dad around, and they're just going to be a burden on those, you know, on the mom and the dad that are getting the divorce. Why not just kill them? You know, I talked about making that argument to somebody, you know, this guard the other day, the security guard. He said, oh, that'd be murder. They're already born. Well, what's the difference? You know, what's the difference, you know, before it's born or after it's born? It's still murder, obviously. So the point is, I mean, they argued, well, it's not murder, you know, it's not murder if it's not born yet. Well, what they were really wanting was murder. They want to be able to murder people at will. And so what you end up with is they can decide who lives and who dies. Sort of, you know, some people in an elite position, you know, some minority position that's considered an elite would be able to just decide who lives and who dies, just sort of arbitrarily. And if they deem that your life isn't worth living, then, you know, just put you out of your misery, like you were some kind of a fly, you know, they were swatting away from their hamburger or whatever. And so that's where it goes, and that's really, you know, people will try to make arguments and, you know, wrong is right, right is wrong. It's really, you know, this is really mercy killing. Why are you forcing this poor little baby or this toddler to suffer, and so on and so forth? They'll make those arguments. But the people that are, you know, and they're just pawns, because the people that are really into this stuff, it's right in your Bible. It, you know, it leads to death. These people want to kill you. There's fascinated, externalized people are fascinated with death. They're fascinated with it. And of course, the reason they are is because the spirit that sort of externally leads them is evil, and the purpose of evil is to kill you. The purpose of evil is to put you to the test, is to put your soul to the test. And so, you know, it's a really sick thing. And you can say, well, that's Belgium, and they're not, you know, they have their own country and what have you. Well, you can say that, but it's the problem is that it's the same spirit. You know, regardless of what country, where, you know, you're either moving in one direction as an individual or a country, or you're moving in the other direction. And if you're moving in the wrong direction, if you're not moving in the right direction, then by definition, you are moving in the wrong direction. And the wrong direction always leads to death. It always leads to the same place. There was another article that I saw, you know, where a soldier was being punished for reading a conservative book. You know, his commanding officer or whoever told him, don't read that, and he did it anyway, and so he's being punished because of it. You know, and that's sort of the beginning of a, you know, and you're going to say this is absurd, but that's sort of the beginning of a death camp. Because, you know, if you can punish people for what they think and what they believe, then sooner or later, that translates, you're going to put them in a camp somewhere and just put them out of their misery. Or kill them, get rid of them. We can't have anybody opposing us. You know, it's, you know, let's say that, you know, and there's plenty of groups that would, you know, in the United States, I think that if we do move towards death camps, if this keeps going on and nothing gets resolved, we will have death camps within probably just a few years. We're probably very close, dangerously close to that. And who's going to be in the death camps? It's going to be the conservatives. It's going to be people that still have morals. Or we're going to have a civil war. One of the two, and I think the Civil War is probably more likely than moving into actual death camps. But we'll probably end up with some sort of civil war. And we may, who knows, we may have both. But if the problem is that people are rotten. Again, that is the real problem. We've lost our morals. We lost them actually a long time ago. We were lost morally back in the 70s. We never recovered our morality. And so that's why we're in the position we are today. And it has nothing to do with politicians and so on and so forth. The politicians simply reflect the morality of the people. The real nitty-gritty morality of the people is reflected in the politics. And so that's, you want to wonder why we have such rotten leadership and so on and so forth, and it's so out of control. The reason is because we are rotten and out of control, but we won't look at ourselves, and we, you know, it's always the other guy's fault. Oh, he's worse than I am. You know, or I, you know, or like that security guard the other day, you know, was trying to say, well, I believe in a woman's right to choose. No, you believe, you're making excuses for murder. You know, and who knows, you know, a lot of times when people make that statement, you know, woman's right to choose, they've probably got some moral lapse in their past that causes them to, you know, that maybe they got some gal pregnant in the past. And so that causes them to want to say that, or maybe they like having illicit sex. And so that causes them to sort of want to say that, you know, believe in a woman's right to choose. You know, as if, you know, because it kind of gives them an out. Especially if it's a man, it sort of gives them an out to go ahead with her, you know, same rotten behavior. So, you know, but I'm looking through the headlines, and things are getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, again, I don't even have to read the stories most of the time. I don't even bother, because it's so predictable. It's just absolutely predictable. We've lost our morals. And you think, well, you're going to get saved. Somehow you might get saved at the last minute. Or you might, you know, and that is possible. You can be saved at the last minute, you know, as an individual. You know, salvation can come right at the last minute. It happened to the thief on the cross next to Jesus. But the Bible also, you know, I'm listening to it some more. And it also, in a number of different places, mentions that, you know, you want to find, it talks about people that start looking for their Creator early. Looking for God early. And it gives plenty of examples where, you know, people, you know, they wait till, you know, to the last minute. And, of course, they're not sincere is the reason. You know, all of a sudden in the end, you know, they cry out, you know, and God doesn't hear them. It's because they were never sincere to start with. As I'd say, you know, if you start looking for your Creator early, just because you know, if you're sincere, the sincerity will drive you to do that. Versus at the end, you know, you weren't sincere at all. You were deceived, you're self-deceived, didn't want to be, you weren't really looking. And then in the end you say, oh, well, save me. You know, when you see that, just, you know, then it's too late. Because you lack the sincerity to start with. You know, and there's this Jay Carney, you know, these ongoing scandals with, you know, the president and what have you. And this Jay Carney's kind of like Baghdad Bob, you know, trying to tell people, you know, that they'll tell him, you know, they'll ask him a question, you know, and the press is kind of getting, you know, really asking some difficult questions now sometimes. Because before it was just they kept throwing him all these softballs. And so he's like Baghdad Bob, you know, trying to say that, wrong is right and right is wrong, and you know, we're going to crush you. And you know, like, if you don't remember who Baghdad Bob was, he was Saddam Hussein's spokesman, you know, during the Iraq war. And so Baghdad Bob, even, you know, the Americans were already in there and they were just blocks away from kind of taking things over, and he's saying, oh, you know, we're going to crush the Americans and so on and so forth. And he could just lie, just endlessly lie. And so that's who Jay Carney kind of reminds me of. But why do people put up with, you know, why do people do that? Why do people put up with that in the first place? And it's because they're making excuses themselves. How we end up with a president, politicians, government officials that will make those kind of just stupid excuses is because people are making those excuses themselves. And so liars demand liars. If you lie to yourself, you're going to end up voting for a liar that's bigger than you are. You know, you're going to find the biggest, baddest liar you can, and that's the one that's going to glow. That's what people do when they choose spouses. Oftentimes, they'll find the biggest liar they can, because they love lies. They want to be lied to. There's a TV show, Lie to Me. And there's real truth in that. People do want to be lied to. Do you want your ego stroked? Well, of course you do. If you do, you want someone to lie to you and tell you what a wonderful person you are. You're just a rotten piece of crap. So, but we got the government we deserve. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and I don't hold out much hope for it changing, you know, anytime soon. But it's very interesting. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. I keep looking down here at this Qualcomm, and they have not sent any messages, so I think I'm probably safe to just go to bed here in a bit. And hopefully I'll be able to avoid, you know, any more like super itching fits. That's right, because right now, I don't know, I noticed several hours ago I got some welts kind of that came up on the back of my neck a little bit. And there's one kind of on my chest and so on and so forth that wasn't there. I didn't really notice that until today. So these are still coming up. So I'm still having the reaction, and it seems like the reaction's kind of centered mostly in my hands and arms, but it is in some other places. It really, so far, has really not had any reaction on my legs for whatever reason, which that's good. I'm glad that it's kind of concentrated in one area. And so, but I really don't know how much longer this is going to go on, but I will continue to take the Benadryl and do what, you know, I can take that. That's over the counter. So, and that does work. Doctors do recommend that. And, so I'll just continue to take that and until this eventually will have to kind of clear out. So, but it's just going to take a while. So anyhow, hope everyone, is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com. Yeah.